The FBI is targeting FBI whistleblowers who come forward to report the agency for its weaponization. FBI whistleblower Steve Friend is joining us to detail how the agency has targeted him and his family. House Speaker Mike Johnson seems to be America last these days. John Zdrosny joins us. There's a trial underway right now in Arizona. It's about rancher George Kelly, who's accused of shooting an illegal who's on his property, who might have actually been a drug smuggler. Whit Lyman joins us from the courtroom. Fake news experts are saying that eating too much beef is bad for you. I'm here to say, well, no, it's not. J.D. Rucker joins me to discuss. All that and more on the Brianna Morello Show. Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome to tonight's program. I know I say it often, but we really do have a jam-packed show for you. There's so much to go through, especially a report that you won't see anywhere else. You'll just see it on this show. It's in regards to the FBI actually going after their whistleblowers. We have more evidence that they were doing that and doing credit checks after agents came forward to report the weaponization of the committee. And FBI whistleblower Steve Friend will be joining us in just a few moments. So you definitely want to stay tuned to that. But there's something that we have to talk about, and it is Speaker Mike Johnson. Now, House Republicans are infuriated by Speaker Johnson. It's because, well, he's prioritizing something that most Americans really don't think is a priority these days, and that's Ukraine, giving aid to Ukraine. There's been plenty of reports that Speaker Johnson is preparing, as soon as they come back from their break, folks, to push forward funding that passed in the Senate for Ukraine. The funding is something that they've debated back and forth about for quite some time, but it looks like he's looking to pass giving $95 billion to Ukraine in a Ukraine aid package. Again, folks, that's $95 billion, which again, they keep giving the money. We don't have the money. We don't have the money. We keep printing money we don't have, and we keep borrowing from, you know, people that don't like us, like China. So again, most Americans are really upset with all of this. And there's very, very few folks who are willing to stick their neck out and to go after Speaker Mike Johnson publicly in regards to all of this. We've heard from, you know, Congressman Chip Roy. We've also heard from, just recently, Congressman Thomas Massey. Thomas Massey actually posted this tweet on Twitter, and I think it's really interesting. He goes, "What's your mission, sir? We are starting to wonder when you suspended all of our rules," which many of you know, they were very upset in regards to. Those are the rules that he said that he was going to lay out when he was trying to become the speaker. He also calls him out for giving us no time to read bills. Again, the federal spending, increasing foreign aid, and then include earmarks that undermine morality, spend more ominous than Pelosi, don't secure our border, and pass laws with more D's than R's. And Thomas Massey is 100% right here, folks. This is something that Speaker Johnson has been doing since taking the gavel, and he's not alone. He's not the only one who's fired up. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is also upset. She has sent out several tweets on Twitter right now. This one really caught my attention. She calls out Speaker Johnson for completely surrendering the power in the House to stop the horrific crimes that you guys see right now going on against children being raped as they make their way into our country illegally. Now, we talk about it often on this show all the time, that our country is, I mean, it's probably one of the most egregious things that we're going to see, but they are helping in the huge, huge human trafficking issue that we have right now. They are helping by allowing children to be smuggled into our country. And well, they're not even really doing DNA testing anymore, folks. So when they sit there and they're coming as these family units, we don't even know if these children are really associated with that. And Marjorie Taylor Greene has been a shark in calling all of that out. Speaker Johnson has to answer for that. And well, speaking of having to answer, I'm going to have to apologize to you all right now. Speaker Mike Johnson did do an interview yesterday with, not my favorite person, Sean Hannity, of course. And so Sean Hannity did hold his feet to the fire, though, Speaker Johnson's feet to the fire, by grilling him on, well, his issues with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Let's take a listen.
In Marjorie Taylor Greene, threatening a motion to vacate. You apparently have been in conversations with her. What is the standing of that?
Yeah, Marjorie and I are going to talk again this week. She's frustrated, and we all are, to your point. Every conservative is frustrated about our current position. We have the smallest majority in U.S. history. We have a one-vote margin right now. So it's very difficult to move big things up the field for our principles. But here's how we're going to do it, Sean. It's a very simple formula. We will grow the majority in November. We'll win back the Senate, and Donald Trump will be returned to the White House. If we do a couple of simple things, we have to show what we're for. That's what Vivek was saying earlier. He's exactly right. That's what we've been saying. You know, I talk a lot about the seven core principles of American conservatism. It's individual freedom, limited government, the rule of law, peace through strength, fiscal responsibility, free markets, human dignity. These are the things that made America the most exceptional nation in the history of the world. We're for those foundational principles, and the Democrats, the progressives, are not. So we got to talk about what we're for. And also, to your point, we've got to unify. When you have such a small majority, if the Republicans will stand together, we have much better, obviously, negotiation strength when we're dealing with Democrats in the Senate and a Democrat in the White House. And finally, we've got to move our conservative agenda, at least incrementally. And we can do that. We can show the American people we can fight on these things. Look, we're for standing up to China and securing the border and protecting American jobs and unleashing American energy and changing the budgeting and spending habits of Washington. But it takes every single Republican in the House to stand together to do that. And I think now people feel the gravity and the weight of this, the importance of it. And I think we're going to do that in the days ahead. It's a long time to November, but it'll be here before you know it. And it can't get here soon enough.
It can't get here soon enough. And we agree with that. But listen, Speaker Johnson, everything he just said sounded great, but his actions are the complete opposite. And we're all watching this all play out. And so although he claims to still be a conservative, many of us are questioning if he truly is. Joining us right now to discuss all of this is America First Legal's John Zadrozny. John, thank you for joining us. Americans are fired up over this issue. There was a recent poll that came out that's almost roughly 70% of Americans believe that Ukraine needs to come to the table and start peace negotiations with Russia just to resolve this issue. That was according to Harris polls. So what is your takeaway from all of this, seeing that Speaker Johnson is going to be pushing forward funding Ukraine even more than what we've already given them?
Yeah, Brianna, thank you so much for having me on the show. Yeah, just regarding very quickly via Speaker Johnson, he's been doing, I mean, there are some things he has been doing very strongly for the conservative movement. I think, for example, last Friday, you may have seen he sent a letter out to Chuck Schumer in the Senate saying the House Republicans demand an impeachment trial. There wasn't really an or else in that letter, but that doesn't mean there isn't one, for the record. And also, I think he's trying his best. Like you said, he does have a slim majority, although sometimes I do think pushing in a hard direction sometimes might do a better job of keeping the caucus together. I think when you get situations where the speaker may not be as viewed as strongly by some, that the people tend to fracture and do their own thing, witness Mike Gallagher and others. Mm-hmm. On Ukraine substantively, though, I think the American people are sick of spending hundreds of billions of dollars that we don't have on a country that's not their own. And that would be the case in a normal time in a vacuum. But when you add on top of that the fact that the Joe Biden crime family administration is probably pushing for this to happen, essentially as hush money for the Ukrainians, because they probably would blackmail him in a heartbeat regarding all of his and his son's business dealings in Ukraine. It's just not enough satisfaction in terms of transparency for people as to why we're giving all this money. I always like to remind people, too, I know we're in a different time and a different era, but with our greatest ally on the edge of World War II, the United Kingdom, we didn't write giant blank checks for them. We did Lend-Lease. We lent them equipment. We lent them munitions. We gave them monetary loans with the idea they'd be paid back. We didn't open the piggy bank completely. And here we have a situation where, again, we don't have money. We're printing more money just to give to Ukraine. The American consumer is being decimated by the funding in Ukraine because basically by printing all this money and pretending there's no real foundation for a monetary system, you drive down the value of the dollar, and it cost $1 billion to buy a loaf of bread. So, I think people have a lot of legitimate questions. I think Speaker Johnson, maybe he's got a surprise up his sleeve. Maybe there's some commitment to the border security effort, HR2, or something else important in it. We'll see. But people are fit to be tied regarding the money, and on a personal level, I don't blame them because we just don't have it, and it's not for us anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people are kind of confused as to why he's pushing for this. I saw reports that he's looking to prioritize maybe more drilling here in the United States regarding natural gas, but those really haven't been confirmed as of yet. And you mentioned the lending process. I mean, that's something that President Donald Trump is now bringing up. Instead of just giving away the money, we should be lending it out to Ukraine and making them take out a loan, which I think is interesting in itself. But, Mike Johnson's talking about having a thin majority, and it's members of his party who are stepping down before their terms are up. And they're creating the situation for him. Specifically, you know, last week we did discuss Michael Gallagher, Congressman Michael Gallagher, and how he's stepping down, but he's stepping down strategically after he can't be really replaced. There can't be a replacement put in place before him prior to November. And so you don't really hear Speaker Johnson talking about it. Why do you think that Republicans aren't making it a priority to push forward the expulsion of Michael Gallagher?
That's a good question, Brianna. I don't know. You know, you could also ask the same question as to why they tripped over themselves to expel George Santos, a guy who, mm-hmm. number one, hadn't even been convicted of a crime, and number two, said he wasn't running again. Like, he was basically on his way out the door and didn't really care. And they were just compelled to throw this guy out. We also haven't had a serious conversation about why haven't there been motions to expel Ilhan Omar, who's announced her allegiance to a foreign country, to Rashida Tlaib, who's essentially money laundering for Hamas, and to Eric Swalwell, who literally was in bed with a Chinese spy. Those three human beings should be thrown out of Congress forthwith. And if there's anyone else that should be thrown out, add them to the list, right? And yet they're not. As to why the majority, the Delta matters, Brianna, look, he's not wrong. Mathematically, it's getting close. It's hard to lose votes. But here's the thing. Nancy Pelosi never lost a vote. Mm-hmm. The Democrat speakers don't lose votes. The Democrat majority leaders and minority leaders don't lose votes. Why? Because they tell their caucus, you are voting this way. And if you don't do this thing, you will lose this other thing. What I'm just concerned about is you don't really see that. The Democrats are like the Borg in Star Trek. They're a hive mind that would step on their own to achieve a greater goal. Sometimes even losing a chamber to achieve a once in a generation goal, like Nancy Pelosi with Obamacare in 2010. Meanwhile, the Republicans are like an open mic night at the comedy club, and you wonder why we can't get anything done. I think Speaker Johnson's correct. I think if he's trying to maintain a little bit of a course to get to November, and I think there'll be some breathing room in November. But sometimes being strong on a policy and pushing something gets you more backing than just being super delicate. And I worry that sometimes by treading so lightly, people are getting the impression he can't really lead, and that's going to hurt him in the long run. I'll tell you, Brianna, too, one last thing on this front. This is not about Speaker Johnson. I've heard really good things about him. I've never met him. He's got a great team. What I worry about is there are people who are determined to make conservatives look bad. And by all accounts, Mr. Johnson's been a hardcore conservative his entire career in Congress. Yet what I'm worried about here is the assault on Speaker Johnson will essentially be a proxy for an assault on a potential future conservative speaker, whether it's him or somebody else. They'll say, look, these conservatives, they just can't get it done. We need to go back to having, a rhino speaker. I don't think that's the case. I wish Speaker Johnson the best. I hope he starts throwing a few more punches. But otherwise, keep an eye out for this, because there's going to be a subtle undertone of any effort to take out Speaker Johnson, which is we can't have conservatives in leadership. And frankly, I think that's the opposite of the appropriate message.
Yeah. And with a thin majority right now, I honestly wouldn't want to see his ousting. I understand, Congresswoman Marjorie Greene's frustrations on all of this, but I'm deeply concerned that Congressman Jeffries might end up getting elected into this position and getting voted into this position. And that would be devastating for Republicans. And we're getting closer and closer to November. So I don't really think we have anything to, well, we do have a lot to risk here. I don't think we should be doing this though. We'll see how it plays out. Speaking of rhinos though, you mentioned rhinos, and that's a topic that I'm very passionate about these days. Let's jump into Senator Mitch McConnell, because he has been all over the place. Obviously, he is stepping down from his leadership role after the elections, but he's still staying in the Senate. And well, due to health concerns, he probably shouldn't be there. But he was asked, not specifically about this, but his response in regards to sticking around for a little bit longer was kind of jarring. Let's take a listen.
What's your mindset now when your feet hit the floor in the morning when you wake up? What do you see ahead?
Well, first, let me just say I've been served longer as leader than anybody in American history, 18 years. So, look, I finally thought it was time to go in a different direction. But I'm not leaving the Senate, and I'm particularly involved in actually fighting back against the isolationist movement in my own party and some in the other as well. And the symbol of that lately is, are we going to help Ukraine or not? And I think it's extremely important that we do that. I'm not a particular fan of the Biden administration, particularly the decision to run out of Afghanistan, which is like sending Putin a green light. And But we are where we are. And the Europeans have stepped up. Most of the money that we are.
So I'm assuming he's referring to MAGA when he's referring to isolation within the party itself. So it's a little interesting because ultimately we're having a division right now between those who want to prioritize America first and those who don't. And that's what Mitch McConnell represents. What's your takeaway from this?
Brianna, it was an interesting audio clip. And, you know, it's up to the people of Kentucky if they want Mitch McConnell to come back or if he might decide in the next couple of years to retire. Look, he said he's been there for 18 years as majority leader. Maybe people shouldn't be in leadership positions that long, but that's up to people who elect these people. And it's up to the Republican caucus to choose who their leadership is. And so we'll see someone different, maybe. I know we'll see someone different after November, although it's kind of interesting that he wants to maintain the post through November. I would say this. I just think that he kind of tipped his hat regarding federal spending. I think what he refers to derogatorily as isolationist, I think I would refer to optimistically from a political perspective. I'm speaking my own personal opinion here as America First, where we ask ourselves, is the spending of hundreds of billions of dollars that's destroying our domestic economy something that should be done? Is it prioritizing American citizens? Is it strengthening the American Republic? And I think you have too many people from both parties. This is a nonpartisan statement. You've got too many people from all across the political spectrum who think the primary goal of the federal government is to take American people's money and provide it to enemies foreign and domestic. And quite frankly, Americans are getting a little sick of it because they do pay for it. I mean, I half jokingly the other day, I was thinking, look, since money is not actually based on any real value anymore because we just print it, let's just get rid of the income tax and repeal the 16th Amendment, because you might as well just let people keep their own devalued money and just have the government just print money. Just keep printing it. It doesn't matter. Let Americans keep their money. You don't have to tax anybody. Obviously, I'm joking. I'm being a little facetious, but you get the point there. Like, Americans are sick of what they earn being taken by a government that then flips them the bird afterwards. And so we'll see what happens. We've got a long way to go to November. And, you know, from a non-political perspective, there are a lot of battles between now and then, a lot of stuff going on in the courts. And everyday Americans have a role in what we're about to see unfold over the next few months. So keep at it, Americans.
Yeah. We'll see how it all plays out. I mean, essentially, everyone does have their say in this. So we'll see what the American people think. I mean, I think they're pretty fed up. So we hope to see that reflected in November. John Zdrosny, it's always a pleasure to speak with you and have you on, because you're so insightful and you help get us to the point where we need to understand both sides of things. So thank you, John, for joining us.
Thank you so much, Brianna. Great to be with you.
Thank you. If you enjoyed that interview, make sure you guys hit that subscribe button right now. And if you're watching on Rumble or YouTube, leave us your feedback. We greatly appreciate it. You could do so in the comments. And you could also do so if you're listening on any of the podcasting platforms like iTunes or Spotify. We love hearing from you. And since we're a new show, we want to hear your thoughts and everything. So make sure you leave it in the comments. And well, like I mentioned, we are a new show and we are strictly funded by you, the viewers. And so if you'd like to support our program, all you have to do is head over to supportbree.com. That's where you guys can make a one-time donation, or you could become a monthly donor. We greatly appreciate whatever you could give, and that's why you could fix it however you'd like to figure out whatever kind of dollar donation you want to give. You could do so over at supportbree.com. And we're so grateful for all of you who have already given to our show. It keeps us going. And I make sure, you know, we don't have to take money from any questionable sources, of course. And that's something we will never do. And again, it's all because of you guys at home right now who are heading over to supportbree.com and making a donation. We'll be right back with more. You guys, I've said it once before, so I'm going to say it again. And under the Biden regime, I've never been more worried about my financial future. I called my good friend, Dr. Kirk Elliott, because I wanted to come up with a plan put in place to make sure I was secure. And he came with a plan for me to invest in silver.
I'm rich.
I've got my silver. I'm feeling so much better about my future. I highly recommend you give him a call and just chat with his team. 720-605-3900. And you could also head over to his website if you'd like to schedule an appointment. It's KirkElliottPhD.com/Brianna. I'm so surprised more people aren't talking about what happened last month in court. The FDA, which all of us now know are the masters of disinformation, just had to remove all of their disinformation on their Twitter page. It's all because the courts told them they had to pull it down. And it's all in regards to ivermectin. Many of you guys might remember ivermectin was, you know, dismissed by the FDA as something that's only being used on animals, of course. But we know, because, well, there's been plenty of awards, that ivermectin is often used on humans. And so we're so thankful that the courts are ruling in favor of the American people by saying, the FDA, you must take down your disinformation. Now, we're heading into, obviously, heat of election season, and you never know what they're going to do. And so for those at home right now who are a little concerned and wondering, well, how do I get ivermectin if we do ever need it? I've got the greatest resource for you. It's over at twc.health/Brianna. Right now, you guys could get these great kits, these emergency kits that they have. And in it, they have all the supplies you're going to need if you ever get, you know, COVID or a respiratory infection. These medications are critical. It's the contingent medical kit, of course. And well, it has great, great prescription drugs, you know, like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, Z-Pak, nebulizer, and so much more. It also comes with a guide. So, you know, you guys at home can review it and just kind of make sure that you're using these tools appropriately. It's so important. And it's backed by great researchers like Dr. Peter McCulloch and Dr. Harvey Risch. These doctors have really just signed off on the wellness company's contingent emergency kit. And so, folks, we are all about this. We love these doctors. We really do trust them and their work. So it's very, very important that you guys take it seriously because they're backing it. So if you're looking to avoid the chaos and the wait times for, you know, hospitals, God forbid if this does happen again, this is the best way to plan and do so. So you got to head over to twc.health/Brianna and grab those contingent emergency kits right now. And also, just for listening to this program, you're going to get extra $30 off if you use promo code Brianna. That's B-R-E-A-N-N-A. And it's only at twc.health/Brianna. That's twc.health/Brianna. And you got to use that promo code Brianna to get $30 off at checkout. These kits are only available in the United States, so you got to get it now while you still can. You don't know what they're going to do for the next pandemic. And so again, folks, it's twc.health/Brianna, and use promo code Brianna for $38 off. On this program, we often tell you about how the FBI harasses FBI whistleblowers. And well, there's tons of evidence that they do so. But when it comes to digging up dirt on their former agents or current agents who they just don't want to pay anymore, they go to extreme lengths. And well, this I found to be very, very interesting. Now, many of you guys might remember, because we've had them on the show, Garrett O'Boyle and Steve Friends. They come on the show quite often. They've also testified in front of Congress. Well, when they came forward to call out the Bureau for their corruption, the FBI did something, well, that might have some of you scratching your heads. They looked into their credit score. And well, Steve Friend put up this screenshot of his credit score. And in it, as many of you guys could see, the FBI actually did an inquiry into his credit on August 12th of 2022. Now, if you're wondering the significance of that date, that's actually the day that Steve Friend came forward as an FBI whistleblower. And it's interesting enough because it's not just Steve Friend. Like I mentioned, Garrett O'Boyle also took a look at his credit. And well, the FBI, looks like on maybe two occasions, did a hard inquiry into his credit score as well. And you see here, you see that they looked into his credit. Now, it happened on two different dates. What I thought was interesting, in 2022, it looks like in 2023, the Bureau went looking into his information. And so it happened before he came forward, because he came forward on September 26th of 2022, but he was going to Congress back in November of 2021. Just keep that in mind. And, you know, there the agency is looking into his credit. Now, it's not just these two as well. Kyle Serafin, who's also a regular on the show, also found out that the FBI was looking into his credit. And well, they did so after he came forward as an FBI whistleblower. Now, most of you are probably wondering why this happened. I asked the FBI directly, and well, they just responded back to me moments ago by saying that they had no comment. But often FBI whistleblowers are harassed by the agency, and it's not just them, it's their families as well. They are all targeted by the agency when it comes to, you know, just trying to do what's best for the American people by reporting the weaponization of the Bureau. And joining us now to discuss all of this is FBI whistleblower Steve Friend himself. Steve, you brought this story to our attention, and so we're so grateful for it, but it's concerning because, well, the FBI is looking into your credit the day that you come forward as an FBI whistleblower. What do you make of all of this?
Well, I think I came forward to my frontline supervisor and expressed my concerns, and then he immediately contacted executive management within my office at FBI Jacksonville, and I have it on good authority that the special agent in charge at the time, Sherry Unks of the FBI Jacksonville, was very close. I would think that they're kind of BFFs with Jennifer Moore, who was the executive assistant director of human resources branch. In fact, Jennifer Moore, when she came to Jacksonville, stayed at the house of Sherry Unks. They're pretty thick of thieves. And Jennifer Moore was the person who signed off on each of Kyle, Garrett, and my own suspensions from her position as executive assistant director of human resources. So I think that that's a pretty cohesive line from one party to the next that sort of indicates that they immediately started an investigation process on us, thinking that we might be some sort of insider threat, or more likely, as we've come to find out, just to target us as whistleblowers for some sort of reprisal in violation of 5 U.S.C. 2303.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to give the FBI, you know, some type of leverage here to kind of defend themselves. And I specifically asked them, how many times do you actually do background checks and go after agents' credits? And well, they didn't want to respond to that. Steve, is it a common practice of the Bureau for them to look into your credit score while you're employed, like even way past your, you know, hiring date, looking into your credit information?
Well, historically, they would do five-year security checks on people, and that would be part of that. But then they got so far behind. I mean, I was with the FBI for 8.5, 9 years, and they never did one on me. So they changed the policy, and they labeled it as continuous vetting, meaning that they might get around to it one way or another. It might make you think they're looking at you one week, and then a month later looking at you again. But really, it was just to get out of trouble for their failing to meet the five-year requirement. So they will probably argue that this was part of some sort of continuous vetting process they were going after us for. I was an employee at the time and was not suspended. They might be able to articulate it, even though the timing is very dubious and suspicious. But the fact that Kyle and Garrett both had their credits checked after they were suspended by the FBI indicates to me that this is part of something larger, not part of their employment, but maybe a criminal or a national security investigation, which my moles have told me there are one, if not several, domestic terrorism investigations of which each of us is a party of concern.
Well, that's deeply concerning. Have you alerted Chairman Jim Jordan to any of that? Because the fact that you guys were coming forward would be flagged is deeply concerning.
I've alerted the Weaponization Committee, and hopefully they will take up some sort of investigation on it and do some basic inquiries. Certainly should be a question for members of the committee who can then turn around and issue the subpoenas that never seem to get issued, like for Jennifer Moore. She refused to really cooperate really with the process. Same with Sherry Unks. I think that neither one of them is even represented now by the FBI because they've retired. They should issue subpoenas to them and have them come forward, and then they wouldn't even have the protection from the FBI. The FBI couldn't represent them in that.
Yeah, well, I would want to hear from them specifically because I think it's very strategic how this is all happening to the three of you. And I'm sure if we were to reach out to other FBI whistleblowers or even the IRS whistleblowers of other agencies, I mean, I'm sure they might have similar stories because, you know, we talk about it often on the show, but you guys are being targeted still to this day. I mean, we had Garrett Boyle on the show last week talking about how he was hit with a $3,000 plus bill even after leaving the agency. And those were related to his moving expenses when the Bureau had him move to another state and take his whole family with him. And then they immediately suspended him when he arrived. It was like we talk about it. It was a way to harass him. It's a way to financially drain him. And for the last over 18 plus months, he has been on unpaid leave, but he's still employed by the FBI. And so they're able to get away with this. Constantly when I reach out to politicians about, you know, this stuff happening to you all, they love speaking to you when you were in front of Congress, obviously. But now that we're, you know, months out of that, I keep asking, following up to ask them, you know, what are you guys doing to push back and to help people like you, Kyle, and Garrett? And well, I don't really hear much. They say that there's proposed legislation to make sure that the agencies can't do this any longer. But what are you hearing? Are you hearing that anyone in Congress is looking to make sure that this stuff stops happening with the FBI?
they're hanging their hat on this legislation, which if you actually look into it, will be completely ineffective. Mm-hmm. They are basically repeating what is already in the law and that the FBI is not following. They're saying that they're going to make referrals over to the Inspector General's office, and they'll have 6 months to assess whether or not there was some sort of retaliation or reprisal against a whistleblower. So tell me the person that can go without a paycheck for 6 months. So that in itself is not helpful, but the FBI has the hack. They don't retaliate against you for whistleblowing. They find another reason to do it. For Garrett, they said that he went to the media, which we know isn't true. For Kyle, they said that he had an unprofessional interaction with another law enforcement agency when he was shooting in the desert at a gun range, when he has video to support. And then for me, they said that I looked at the employee handbook, an unclassified document, improperly. So none of us have actually been on paper, have faced any sort of reprisal for whistleblowing. But look, if you have more than two brain cells and a 98.6 degree temperature, you can see that that is what's going on. And that's consistent with them looking into our credit.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve, I wanted to ask you too, it's not just the credit that's the issue here too. There's other tactics that the FBI uses to target you. And it's, you know, quiet. It's very hard to kind of directly come out and say, but since you've come forward, have you noticed anything else that's personally, you know, happened to you that you might flag as potential retaliation?
Absolutely. I came forward and 3 weeks later, my wife sent a private Facebook message and her Facebook account was shut down within 30 minutes. She'd sent a private message to a Moms for Liberty representative and asked her to share our story because I didn't at the time have any social media. And then her account was permanently revoked. And she's actually part of the Missouri v. Biden lawsuit that's going on. Then during Hurricane Ian, when I was out of contact because there was no cell reception or internet, the FBI leaked my medical information to the New York Times and told them that I was actually under investigation for discharging a firearm in my backyard. Also had to participate in a compelled interview with the FBI security division during which they tried to get me into the Mike Flynn trap, try to get me to lie to a federal agent so they could charge me with a crime. And then they said that I broke state law, which I didn't. The inspection division issued a gag order to me and told me I was not allowed to discuss any facts of my investigation or my case with my family or my friends or even my attorney. And then when I put in requests for outside employment, like Marcus Allen is having problems with, I put in two requests for outside employment. I was told it would take between 30 and 90 days to determine whether or not I could do that. Within one calendar day, they rejected those requests. So it's an attempt to just financially starve you and bleed you white. So eventually you just have to resign out of necessity. And therefore they can disregard any of the concerns you brought forward as those of some rambling, angry ex-employee.
Yeah. Well, we hear those stories quite often about how they're trying to starve people out financially who come forward. And it's discouraging. And that's probably the nicest way to phrase it for the FBI to say. But ultimately, it's un-American that we do this and we allow this to continue to happen. Because when a whistleblower comes forward, they should be protected. They should be protected, not only, you know, the other protectors, but financially be protected. Because, you know, Garrett O'Boyle, I mean, we talk about it all the time. Now he's making shirts and he's doing other things, but he can't bring an income. And that's the biggest issue here is that somebody who has served his time, his country, and has really done a great service to everyone is now being punished. And he literally can't bring in an outside source of income right now. And a man who has children, young children, that's completely devastating. And it's meant to make him resign and to kind of give in. And he's got, you know, he's looking to recoup all of the lost funds that he's had to deal with since coming forward. And it's just disgusting, Steve, when we continue to see this play out and we continue to see the FBI harassing and targeting all of you guys for coming forward. And then the politicians that just refuse to really kind of intervene. It's just, it's unfortunate. But Steve, we really appreciate you bringing this to our attention. I will be actively reaching out to Chairman Jim Jordan's office to see what they have to say about this. And so we'll keep our audience updated on all of that. So thank you, Steve.
I appreciate it. And I'm sure that Christopher Wray will say he can't comment on an ongoing investigation, which will actually tell us something. But thanks for the time.
Yes, yes. That's usually the defense these days. Thank you. There's an interesting trial playing out right now in Arizona. And it has to do with a man who is in his 70s who may or may have not shot an illegal who was on his property. You might have heard of him. His name is George Allen Kelly. He is the man who is currently being charged with murder in the state of Arizona because, well, prosecutors are saying that he shot and killed an illegal. Now, the illegal who he shot and killed, allegedly, may have been a drug smuggler, but the state doesn't want you to know that. Of course, they are saying that he was just a man looking to better his life and was looking to flee to the United States, and he happened to flee through the property that is owned by Mr. Allen. He owns about 169 acres of land in Arizona. And that land is commonly used by drug smugglers to run through and to run their drugs through. And so Mr. Allen has several occasions called federal agents and asked them to help him because, well, obviously there are cartel members and cartel drug smugglers who are on his property. And obviously that is deeply concerning. So what's playing out right now in Arizona is that he is being charged with murder. The state is trying to make the argument that he murdered this illegal. And well, there's been a lot of questionable circumstances around the subject in itself. But we have a reporter right now who's standing outside of the courthouse. He's with Border Hawk News. Wid Lyman joins us, and he is with Border Hawk. Wid, thank you for joining us. We greatly appreciate it.
Brianna, good to talk to you. Outside of the courthouse right now, about to start the afternoon session. We're on day 6 or 7, about halfway through the state's evidence or procedure going forwards. And then it looks like we're going to wrap up on the 19th after the defense presents what they have.
Yeah, it sounds interesting because I'm you know, hearing from your reporting and other reports going on right now from inside the courthouse that it's an interesting argument the defense is trying to make. Ultimately, there were no bullets found at the scene. They're claiming that there was over 9 gunshots that were fired. And the defense is saying, well, you can't really prove that it came from us and that's what killed this man. What are you hearing in the courtroom and how is their argument playing out?
That is about the gist of what has happened so far. There was a ballistics expert that came in last week, and he testified to that the rifle presented to them from Mr. Kelly did in fact work, and it does in fact shoot bullets. And he did testify as well that the bullet that likely killed Mr. Budamea, the victim in this situation, or the alleged victim in the situation, was a solid core bullet, meaning it doesn't fracture on impact. So some bullets, when they hit solid objects, they explode, they fragment, they splinter. This bullet was not that. But that was the gist of his testimony. And without a bullet to compare to the rifle, they were unable to do that. So a lot of it was speculation on the part of what could have been. And then the summary of his testimony as done by the state during cross was, it may have been this, it could have been that. I really don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've never actually seen that play out before with the defense going with that argument. Now, it's interesting also because, you know, George Allen Kelly is somebody who has called Border Patrol quite often because he owns about 169 acres right by the border. And so he is constantly calling Border Patrol because the area where he is, where he lives, his land is constantly being used by drug traffickers. And that's something that's obviously concerning for all Americans because you wouldn't want drug traffickers running through your property. So pretty much back in January of 2023, it was said during the trial and, you know, in earlier reports too, I believe that there was over 30 to 40 times that he actually called Border Patrol to get them to come over there because he thought there were traffickers there. And the Daily Mail actually went to the scene of his house and where his property is, and they found evidence that there is exactly a lot of trafficking going through his property. Are you hearing the so-called victim, that the victim was a drug mule like reports are suggesting, or is this just somebody who is illegally trying to enter into the United States for a better life?
The state is saying that he was an illegal immigrant crossing over with another illegal immigrant who is the only witness in this case, and that they were looking for a quote-unquote better life here in the United States. Now, you mentioned before the commonality of some of what happens here. You know, Mr. Kelly here and other ranchers have become so accustomed to seeing people on their land. They can tell the difference between, is this person smuggling drugs? Is this person just a migrant? And in our short experience on the border in this last couple of weeks, you can obviously spot the difference as well. So one of the facts of the case is Mr. Budamea was found with a radio. He was found with binoculars. He was found in attire that would appear to camouflage with the terrain, tan pants, olive shirt, camo backpack. And those are not necessarily things that you would see from a lot of the migrants. So the state is saying that this is definitely an illegal immigrant. And then the defense is kind of alluding to the fact that this could have been a drug mule or in associated with drug paraphernalia or the usage of, per the radio and the binoculars. The gentleman that he was with, the other witness who testified, Daniel Ramirez, has a history of drug convictions in the United States as well. So the correlation there, they are trying to paint that picture a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting too. The witness that you're citing is somebody who has been deported over 8 to 10 times, it looks like. And like you said, he has a history of drug convictions. And so it's not crazy to think that these two were trying to smuggle drugs at the time and that they got caught by somebody, maybe potentially, and they might have opened fire. I mean, it's just so interesting. Because mainly, number one, there's no shell casings found on the property itself. They haven't found any bullets. And, well, the defense is saying, well, Mr. Kelly might have shot off in the air once. Why do you think there's just so many unknown factors in this? Because I think that's really the most interesting part in all of the trial.
There are a lot of unknown factors. And as to why, I think a lot of times when it comes down to sort of everything being aired out in court, you do see that there are some holes in what the state is doing, what the defense is saying. I mean, it's just the imperfect nature of a crime that has no witnesses, direct witnesses. And the one witness that we do have, his story changed often. He reported that the gentleman fell backwards onto his back and he saw his eyes roll up into his head. Now, the person in this case was found face down. So there are some of those details that are a little bit strange. And I went ahead and I drew you a map, Brianna. I'm not an artist, right? I'm a reporter and I do other things, but I did draw you a map. And I find this to be super important because this is something the defense has really been hammering the entire time of the trial. And just for a slight orientation, if I get this backwards, I'm sorry, but this little guy right here is the house. Oh, I'm going to go upside down. I'm just going to turn and look at it. So this right here is the house. This is the gate where everybody entered. And then there's these two small fences. And then these solid lines here are where the sheriff and Border Patrol fanned out and conducted their search. Now, Mr. Budimea was found somewhere in this area, and there is some stipulation about where. And what the defense is trying to show over and over is that you didn't search the right area. You didn't do a thorough enough job. Was he there during the time of the call, or was he there? Was he placed there hours later? So the body was not found until about 2.5 hours later when Mr. Kelly went out with his dog. So they're saying that he might have been dropped off. He might not have been there when the law enforcement was there. And that's a distinction that they've played out over and over. And we'll probably see more of their strategy come next week when they present. But law enforcement was there, and it was a good 7 or 8 of them did not find anything during the original call.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't understand why there's so many just unknown factors in all of this. It's concerning. It feels like a cover up in some senses, but I mean, Mr. Kelly has been receiving an outpour of support. His GoFundMe, or actually it's Gifts and Go, has raked in way more money than he was even initially looking to bring in. So I think he's got the support of the American people. I mean, he's over $300,000 at this point. And I think a lot of people are upset with what's going on here. I mean, You're pretty much describing that the prosecutors haven't really been able to map out a clear argument in all of this, that this was intentional or that this was murder. And I think that's what we're going to possibly see with the jury. I hope that they are listening carefully because, you know, it looks like Mr. Kelly, who's a man who's in his 70s, is being prosecuted for potentially maybe defending his lands. But again, he's not even making that argument. He's just saying, you guys can't even prove who shot this one man. So I am going to follow this because I think it's really, really interesting. I think the arguments that they're making are interesting. And
Brianna, too, not to cut you off, I'm sorry, but what we're seeing here, too, is just this collision of failed border policies, a wall that is either doesn't work or isn't monitored, going onto people's properties, and then you have these sort of issues. You know, again, whether it was justified or not justified, whether he did or didn't, I'm not speculating to that. I'm just pointing out the obvious fact that this is the collision of what failed border policies happen. You're going to have people on your property that are either, you know, illegal immigrants, or they're drug running, or they're doing something far worse, which we have seen all up and down the border. So this case exemplifies and shines a light on this terrible situation that we have down here.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mr. Kelly was trying on multiple occasions to get the federal agents to come and help him. And, you know, they couldn't stop this. And that's the issue here, too, is the fact that, you know, Border Patrol can't even help Americans protect their lands and protect protect against drug smugglers coming into the country, coming into their property. And I feel horrible for these people who are stuck at the border right now, because while they're left there to defend themselves, And it's the drug cartels against them. And that's just horrible. They have to go through this. Now, Whit, I know you're going to be following this through. So I want to direct our audience over to Border Hawk News, borderhawk.news. Again, folks, that's where you're going to be seeing all of this coverage play out regarding the trial. We're going to keep our audience updated by bringing you back on as the trial continues. So, Whit, thank you so much for joining us today. We greatly, greatly appreciate your time.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I want to let our audience in on a little secret. I'm saving hundreds of dollars each year after switching over both of my lines to Patriot Mobile. Yes, so now my business and personal line are with Patriot Mobile. Now, Patriot Mobile uses the same towers that you're probably already using now, except it's less expensive. So my 5G towers that I love to use my old provider, I'm still using them now. I'm just paying significantly less money to do so. And on top of it all, Patriot Mobile believes in the same things you and I believe in. They have the same morals. So they donate to causes that are like pro-life causes, veteran causes, and even the NRA. It's incredible. So I highly recommend you head over to patriotmobile.com right now, take a look at their plans, and sign up. And today, if you sign up and use promo code Brianna, they're going to waive the activation fee. Yes, you heard it right. They're going to waive the activation fee. Just make sure you use promo code Brianna, B-R-E-A-N-N-A. All right, so if you follow me on social media, you are well aware that I am an advocate for eating more beef. Now, just recently, probably within like the last, I'd say 11 to 12 months, I have ditched eating processed foods and I am all about the beef these days. And well, as a result, I've lost about 25 pounds, and that's in combination with a lot, you know, of working out and other things. But I've never felt better. And it's kind of interesting because I heard all these other people talking on social media about just going strictly to the carnivore diet and the miracle it has been for them. And so I jumped on board, and obviously I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell you guys what to do. But like I said, I've never felt better. And then when you look over the benefits to eating more beef, it's pretty interesting. Number one, it helps improve your brain health, which obviously I need a lot of these days. It helps wound your heals a little bit faster. It helps build muscles. And obviously, it helps aiding your digestive system. But it's also a great resource for key vitamins like vitamin B, zinc, and iron. And that's what I need these days. I mean, iron is something that I am all about too. Because you guys, when you start realizing getting your iron levels to a proper level, you feel so much better. So it's something that everyone should look into. I'd recommend, you know, going to your doctor, getting your blood work done to figuring it out. For me, it's been great so far. And I want to bring in my friend JD Rucker, who is the co-founder of BriannaMeat.com. JD, you know, we talk about eating more beef often. I talk about it on social media and tell everyone that they should give it a shot too. And there's so many benefits to just that. But specifically, what do you think are some of the most important benefits to eating more beef products?
Well, you mentioned the iron. That's really the big one. That's something that's very hard to replace with beef alternatives. You know, you can get iron in other foods, of course, but the iron that comes through beef, as well as the quality of the protein itself, have both been demonstrated to be extremely healthy. One of the things that the industry itself has been fighting for years, there was this big push. And if you can always trace back, don't even get me started on sugar and stuff like that, but you can always trace back to these studies that say that this is bad for you or that's bad for you. Generally speaking, 99% of them were commissioned by a competing organization. It'd be like Chick-fil-A going out there and running a scientific study about how beef is bad. Well, of course they're going to say that because they want you to eat more chicken.
Yeah.
The same thing can be said about red meat in general, with beef as being what many are coming to the conclusion of today. Many unbiased scientists are coming to the conclusion that beef protein is prime as far as for survival, as far as for stopping things such as cancer. Just like you, I'm not a doctor either, so I'm not going to go say, eat more beef and you won't get cancer, okay? Yeah. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. But I will say that the new science, the less biased science, the people that are out there trying to say what is really truly healthy, they're saying, wow, oddly enough, some of the things that were supposed to be unhealthy for you, such as beef, such as coffee, such as tea, such as things they were saying, oh, no, don't eat that. Instead, eat processed sugars. Well, maybe there was a reason they were saying all these things for all these decades, and those reasons weren't your health.
Yeah. Well, if we've learned anything from the pandemic, honestly, and I've never really questioned any of this until the pandemic started. The big push for the vaccines for me was the deal breaker and all of this. And now I've just questioned everything that we're told. And so when everyone's telling us don't eat that much beef, don't eat that much red meat, it's bad for you, I kind of went the opposite way to see for myself. And I mean, I feel amazing and I get my blood work done quite often. So I know I'm not dealing with any health implications of this, but I also, you know, eat chicken still as well. But I just think it's so interesting when we talk about the pushback on eating more red meat and the people who are telling you that you shouldn't be doing that. Like you said, they have alternative motives. And I think it's so fascinating how they've kind of brainwashed the entire country into thinking that eating red meat is bad for you somehow, because again, it's a great source of protein, iron, and so many other essential vitamins. I believe there's over 10 of them that you get from when you're just eating beef products. And so I would highly recommend folks looking into it for themselves and saying that if it's something that they'd be interested in, because I do think it's something that everyone should look into these days. They're giving you all these alternatives and these plant-based products are supposed to replace meat. And gosh, when you look at the back of the ingredients, I always do and I joke about it, but if you can't pronounce what's in the ingredients, chances are you shouldn't be putting it into your body. JD, what's your takeaway from all of these plant-based products? So I think it's alarming that they're pushing these onto the American people as well.
Oh, it is. And that should always be the alarm bell. You know, my favorite four-letter word is beef. And that's, it's easy to pronounce. It's easy to eat. You know, it's easy to integrate into your life. And why is it? We have to ask ourselves, this is a serious question. Why is it that the powers that be seem bent to attack it from every direction? They're not attacking fish. They're not even really attacking pork. They're a little attacking chicken a little bit, right? But it's beef. Beef seems to be the big bad guy. All of a sudden, cows are killing the world with, you know, climate change, and they're saying that beef is bad for you. And there were rumors. I don't know what the latest studies have shown, but there were studies that were showing, hey, it seems as if, I don't know, for some strange reason, people that got jabbed are developing allergies to beef. What? I'd never even heard of a beef allergy until like 2022. And now all of a sudden it's starting to pop up. What is their beef with beef? That's a question that you should be asking yourself. And when you come to the conclusion, as you and I have, and I would assume most in your audience have come to the conclusion that whatever they say, they being the powers that be, the uniparty swamp, the globalists, the government, whatever you want to call it, whatever they say as far as, oh, this is bad for you, chances are it's not. Okay. Yeah. And if they say that it's good for you, chances are it's not. I don't know if you saw the revised food pyramid. It came out like last year. It was a joke. They had like sugary cereals were above things such as beef. They were above things such as like certain vegetables and fruits. It's like, oh, no. Eat your Frosted Flakes and your Fruity Pebbles. Don't eat steak. Don't eat asparagus. Those are bad for you. It's like our brains tell us, no, of course it's not bad for us. This is what God made for us to eat. Yeah. It's not, it's this processed food and the ultra processed food that's actually killing us. We talk often about how they're deflecting, how they're telling us the opposite of reality. This is the perfect example. I mean, the attack on beef itself, forget about it.
Yeah. Forget about it. Honestly, because it's interesting I think I read the story last month about how cereals that you just mentioned, like Cheerios, actually potentially are leading to infertility issues in people. And so it's concerning because, again, Cheerios, I remember the Heart Association pushing Cheerios onto all of us saying it's good for your cholesterol. And that's why you should eat more Cheerios. So here I am eating Cheerios, but it could potentially cause infertility issues, which is obviously something concerning to all Americans. And so it's something that we should all be on high alert about. I want to talk about your products that you guys have, because over at BriannaMeat.com, you guys offer a great service for those who are looking to just have a supply of beef products in case they need it. Let's just say a snowstorm, you're locked in your house for a week or two, any type of, you know, hurricane, tornadoes. I mean, I live in Florida, so we're just dealing with everything these days. You could actually have a supply of beef products in your home that lasts up to 25 years. So tell us a little bit about your services and why this is important to have, because it's a good source of protein.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best source of protein. Let's be very clear. I am a firm believer, I was a firm believer in this long before I started a freeze-dried beef company. Yeah. I do believe that beef is the best source of protein. And when I say beef, I'm talking, if you like bison, if you like elk, these are all, I consider these to be beef-like products. You know, high quality proteins like beef, like steak, this is important. I have a story over at discernreport.com that I think applies to what we're talking about here. It focuses on the rise of what we're calling lifestyle preppers. And these seem to be more along the lines of not just what's growing here in the United States, mm-hmm. but perhaps more importantly, what's growing worldwide. There's a lot more people out there that are, number one, becoming more prepared. Okay, they're looking around, they're seeing the writing on the wall, and they're deciding, I need to get prepared. But then they're trying some of this stuff, whether it's MREs or even, you know, freeze-dried beef crumbles, which is what's sold by the vast majority of survival companies out there. They're taking it, they're trying it, and they're like, I don't know if I want to do this. Maybe I should just get in the FEMA cricket line if things go south, right? Well, this rise of lifestyle preppers, this is where this is our audience. These are the people that aren't necessarily out there, you know, living in their doomsday bunker, living off grid, you know, and hunting and fishing. Nothing wrong with that. I dream of living like that. But like you, you know, we're here, we're stuck in the city. We have reasons to be here in a city. We can't just go walk out our door with a crossbow and expect an antelope to come by for dinner. You know, we actually have to prepare. And the way that we do it, people like me, people like you, people like your audience, is through lifestyle preparedness. That means going out and getting a bag, 5 bags, 10 bags of New York strip, filet mignon, tenderloin, sirloin, ribeye, the good stuff, and having that as our backup supply. That's what's going to, you know, if things really do hit the fan, for example, like during the election, you don't want to be eating beef crumbles. You don't want to be getting in line with FEMA. You want to go to briannameat.com. You want to use promo code BRE25, BRE25, and you want to start stocking up today, right now, on ribeye, New York strip, tenderloin, 25-year shelf life, all Texas beef. And again, there is no beef crumble here. There's no, what is it called? Meat flavored porridge at briannameat.com. Yeah. It's only the good stuff.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I rehydrated one of my orders that I recently got, and I rehydrated it with beef broth. And it's super easy to do, folks. You literally boil the beef broth and then just pour it over, you know, the steak that you have on the side into another separate plate. And then you let it sit there for a bit and it rehydrates pretty quickly. And it was really efficient for me. But again, when I'm looking at the beef, it's lean. Like, you guys aren't giving people the fat. You're not giving people the junk that they can't eat. It's strictly the food, the muscle itself that they could actually consume. And so that's the best part in all of this. Now, you mentioned building up a supply, and I think it's a great service that you guys also provide, the subscription side of all of this. So not only with Brie25 do you get the 25% off, but if you subscribe, you could also get 10% off, and that helps you slowly start building up your supplies. So you don't have to jump into this so quickly. You could start getting packages every month or however you want to do it, and you're getting that 10% off discount for just doing that and being prepared. But also on top of it, with the promo Brie25, you're getting free shipping as well, and then 10% of the proceeds are going to a veteran cause, which I think our audience could really get behind. And that's just an exclusive that you guys are giving our audience today for just listening to it. So we're really appreciative of that. JD, what are your, I guess we'll go with your three top sellers of which cuts do you think are the best ones for our audience to focus in on when they're going through your website?
So I'll admit my personal favorite is the New York strip. I am apparently one of the rarities because the most popular one is the ribeye. Ribeye sells like crazy. We can't keep enough food on the shelf. Thankfully, we got great ranchers that are very understanding. But for me, the New York strip, and keep in mind, when I'm ordering a steak, I order a ribeye, generally speaking. But when it comes to the freeze-dried versions, the New York strip has been stellar. I mean, it's just, to me, it's the one we put it in our, I make, I'll go ahead and tell you, here's recipes with Rucker. I take my freeze-dried beef and I put it in a bowl, like you said, I put a boiling beef broth in it, okay? And I let it rehydrate. While it's rehydrating, I'm getting my tortillas ready. I got my cheese and my tortilla. I got diced tomatoes, and then I add my beef to it. And that's actually my go-to late night. I hate to say it. You said you lost 25 pounds. I've gained 25 pounds since starting this company. I can't help it. I just keep eating late at night. It's bad for me. But I'm not going to stop until I want another 25 pounds. Then I'm done. Then I've reached my target weight. So we'll be good.
It's not easy. I get the fluctuation for most folks. So it's definitely not easy, but it's good to be prepared. Because listen, if something were to happen, you're stuck in your home. There's so many elements that could take place that you're stuck in your home for over a week. This is really good. You know, and by the way, also, like, I've got a stash of actual beef in my freezer, but if things go bad and you can't, number one, heat it, this is another great alternative for just that. Again, folks, so head over right now to briannameat.com. And when you use promo code BRE25, that's BRE25, you're going to get 25% off. If you subscribe, you also get the 10% off too. You're also going to get free shipping, and 10% of the proceeds are going to a veteran cause. So there's so much to get behind. And this promo code's not sticking around forever, guys. So you want to take advantage of this right now, because this is the best offer so far that we've received. And so we're so thankful for that, JD. But, you know, now's the time to build up your supply. It lasts up to 25 years, we should say, technically. And so if you're going to start stockpiling up on beef products, now's the best time to do so. So again, folks, head over to briannameat.com. JD, we love having you on to talk about all of this. Beef is one of my favorite topics, so we're so thankful for having you on to discuss it. So thank you.
Well, this is the whole reason why our Prepper Beef Twitter account retweets you so often, because we know, look, if we're looking for beef, we know where to find it. Just go to Brianna's Twitter account and we'll get some good cuts there.
Oh, man. Yes, I know. I'm like, I'm all news, politics, and beef these days. Thank you, JD. I appreciate it. I want to tell you guys about my friend Allie. Allie is always complaining about her feet hurting because she's always in heels and working on them. And so I gifted her the new My Slippers 2.0. And let me tell you something, guys, it's been a complete game changer for Allie. You see, Allie tells me now it feels like she's walking on clouds because these slippers are so soft and the cushioning on them is perfect. She is so happy with her new My Slippers 2.0 that she's bragging about it to everyone. And, well, if you go on MyPillow.com right now, you'll notice that everyone's talking about these slippers. They're incredible. So right now, you have to head over to MyPillow.com and secure your slippers right now. Now, if you want to save up to 66% off, you got to do it by using promo code Brianna. That's B-R-E-A-N-N-A. Again, make sure you're using promo code Brianna if you want to secure your 66% off, and get them now before they sell out. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And, well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.